But I want you to focus on 1 Samuel chapter 17. When God touched my heart with this, I said, Lord, everything, he kept bringing me back to this. I said, Lord, everything that could ever be preached out of the first Samuel 17 has already been preached. It is the encounter of David and Goliath. And I thought, why do you keep bringing me back to this passage? And God spoke to my heart about two verses. I don't know why. As much as I have read this, it never just jumped out. And then one day out back, I'm sitting there early in the morning and I read it, and it's just like the words lifted off the page of God's word. It's found in verse 20, first of all. Verse 20, and David rose up early in the morning and left, what's the next two words? The sheep. So he leaves the sheep. He's leaving, but he didn't leave the sheep alone. He left the sheep with, and these next two words are the ones that jumped out, a keeper. He's fulfilling what the father wants. He's going to check on his brothers that's in the battle and to take them food to see how they fare. He's doing what the father wants, but before he left, he made sure the sheep was taken care of. So he entrusts the sheep to a keeper. Then in verse 22, David's now arrived where they're in array for the battle. And David left his carriage in the hand of, what's the next two words? The keeper. If God helps me today, I want to preach to you about the keepers. I personally think, even though we talk so much about the other figures and characters in this account in the Bible, we know each one stands for something different. You've got the giant. In the giant, we see the foe. Your giant can be different than my giant. The giant you face in life can be different from everybody else's giant, but we all face giants. Things that are bigger than us. Things that we can't take care of ourselves. So in the giant, we see the foe or our enemy. In the king, King Saul, we see the failure. Here was a man that shouldn't have ever been a king because God didn't want him to have a king, but God then allowed it. Let the people have what they wanted. Saul was the one that was put in as king, but he failed God. And in King Saul, we see the failure of a king. Just because God anointed you doesn't mean that he won't take it off of you. It happens. Sad day in our life to lose the anointing. I might have lost feeling in my hands. I might have lost a lot of other things. But I tell you one thing, I haven't lost the Holy Ghost. Praise God for the anointing of God. Then we see in the army of Israel, we see the fear that is there. They're cowering down a whole army. He just wants one man to fight. Not one man in the army of God would stand up. Why? They were afraid. Then we see in David, the fighter, the one that says, I'll go, I'll do it. And David's always been the focus of all of it. But in the keepers, we see the faithful. Let me ask you a question. What's their name? You don't know. They're not named. They're unnamed people that's given a job that says, because that's what God wants, I'll just do the job even though I'm not noticed and I'm not named. And nobody else knows, but God sees and God knows. I want to present this to you this morning shortly. I personally believe David could never have won that battle without two things. First of all, the hand of God was on him. And second of all, he could stay focused. And the reason he could stay focused on what God wanted him to do was because he didn't have to worry about the sheep and he didn't have to worry about the carriage. He had the keepers. Now you can say what you want to, but when you face a giant, The last thing you need to do is be worried about some other things that there's people that'll take care of it. I believe we see it all through it. We find it first when he comes. The first thing he says in verse 26, he asks the question, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? He said, who does he think he is? This is a young boy against a seasoned warrior saying, who do you think you are coming against the name? Why? How could he look at the giant like that and make a statement to these soldiers that's older than him, bigger than him, they're well trained, and he says, who is this guy? How long's he been doing this? 40 days. Why hadn't he been dead 39 days? Who does he think he is? Can I remind you, whatever your giant is, you look at your giant in the eye and you tell the giant, who do you think you are? Don't you know that you've not come against me? You've come against the living God. He could say that because he wasn't worried about the sheep and he wasn't worried about the carriage, because this guy was watching the sheep and this guy was watching the carriage. When he speaks and in his brother Eliab, hears the words, he begins to scold him. And in verse 28, he said, with whom hast thou left the few sheep in the wilderness? He accused him of not doing the job. And he said, listen, there's other people that can do the job. He accused him falsely. And he said, there's other people that know what they're doing. They'll do the job. They'll take care of it. Now, this is his brother. And his brother, older brother, begins to scold him. Why'd you leave the sheep? Who do you think you are, kid? What are you doing out here? And you'll find David's response in verse 29. What have I now done? In other words, what have I done to you? What have I done wrong? I made a statement of fact. He said, is there not a cause? I don't know if you have siblings or not. And maybe you didn't grow up in a family with a brother or sister. But when siblings fight, they fight for a long time. Now it's funny, they'll fight each other. But if someone picks on the other, then they'll fight the other. But haven't you driven down the road in a car on a road trip with your kids when they were little? And one of them start, that's mine, no, that's mine, no, that's mine, that's mine. Back and forth, I want this, I want that. And they start fighting and they'll fight. And you'll say, now be quiet. And they'll keep fighting. You'll be quiet and keep fighting. And finally, you get to the point that my wife's famous statement, she'd turn around and said, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. Because they just won't shut up. But just that quick, you'll find out the argument ceases. He turns to another in the very next verse. He turns to another. And he spake after the same manner. He just said, is there not a cause? And he said, I'm not fighting with you. I don't have time to argue it. Hey, do yourself a favor. Don't argue with people. Strive not with a man without a cause. You don't need to spend your time arguing. I get sick of these people. All they want to do is argue. They know more of the Bible than everybody else. You don't know half of what you think you know. Because if you knew much about the Bible, you know the Bible says redeem the time. I don't have time to sit around and argue with people. There's too much to do. Moving right along now. So then he comes to the king, King Saul. King Saul begins to question him. And he says in verse 33, thou art not able to go against this Philistine. He said, son, I appreciate your attitude, but you're no match for him. David said, well, that's what you think. Said in verse 37, the Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He'll deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. He told him what God had already done. Now think about this. He's speaking to the highest man in power in the land. He backtalks the king. He looks at the king and says, you're wrong, because there's one that has more power than you. And his name is God, Jehovah God. And he said, he's delivered me already out of the hand of the bear, out of the hand of the lion. He'll deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. The next thing we see is he's looking for five stones, the right ones. You haven't got this yet, have you? Why isn't he worried about the sheep? And why isn't he worried about the carriage? He's taking extra time to find the right stones to use. Why could he talk to Eliab like it? Why could he talk to Saul like it? Why could he talk to the giant? In fact, the Bible says when the giant came at him, he said, I'm going to give your flesh to the fowls of the air. And he said, that's what you think. I come to you, you come with your spear, with your shield, with your sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. He said, this day I'll take your head off. I'll come to you. He ran toward the giant. Now, you can't run toward the enemy if you're worried about the sheep and you're worried about the carriage. What are you saying? I'm saying let the keepers do their job. Don't forget the keepers. That silent group that's sitting there, that their name's never called out. And they're never given a title. And they never stand and say, look at what I've done. But they're a keeper. How do you know they're a keeper? Well, three things that a keeper has to be able to do. They have to have the ability to be faithful all by themselves. Nobody motivating. He didn't have a keeper for the keeper. He just turned it over to the keeper. Because the keeper was faithful. If they weren't faithful, he'd have never turned it over to them. If the keeper of the carriage had to have a keeper, then it would have gone on and on and on. There's some people that they won't entrust others. And the reason they don't, they've got a good reason, because they can't be faithful by themselves. You know, there's something strange in the Word of God. If you read it closely, you know the passage in 1 Corinthians 4:2. The Bible says, moreover, it is required in stewards. Is stewards a singular word or a plural word? Plural, has an S on the end. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Is man singular or plural? A man, singular. Do you know why? People aren't faithful collectively, you're faithful individually. I'm not responsible for Rubyville Community Church being faithful. I'm responsible for me being faithful. So you also have to have the ability to glorify God and not yourself. Their names never mentioned. You don't read where they got mad at David for not calling out their name. They never got angry with God because their name's not in the Bible. They didn't get any reward while they were there. But God kept a record. Let me tell you something. This isn't about glorifying us. It's about glorifying God. And then two, you've got to be able to work with others. If you don't have the ability to be fitly framed together, then God will never use you. If you don't have the ability to say, what I'm doing for the glory of God, then it'll never work. Oh, here's where it gets sweet. And pray for me. I don't know if I can get through this. When I read about the keepers, I couldn't help but think of the great keepers that God has given right here at Rubyville. Not a name will be mentioned today. Many of you have responded to me in the past 3 days of ways that God has helped you because of the keepers of Rubyville Community Church and the family of God. Those individuals' names will not be mentioned because they don't want their names mentioned, but we've got keepers. We've got people that send cards every week to dozens and dozens and dozens of people. We've got people that order flowers and people that deliver flowers to make sure people are encouraged in their time of sickness. We've got people that clean this church and clean these grounds and come out on work days that their names never mentioned, but they're keepers. But then we've also got those that I asked for some witnesses in the past. And this is it okay if I just take maybe 5 minutes or so and give you the witnesses that God gave? The first one my wife told me about. I told her what God laid on my heart. And I said, when you think of a keeper in the church, what do you think? And she thought of one of our young people. And it happened a few years ago when that teenager was just a young girl. And Christmas time was coming. And Candy said what she does to a lot of the kids in the church and people in the church. Well, what do you want for Christmas? And as a child, the girl looked up with a tear in her eyes and says, I only want one thing. I've only asked for one thing this Christmas. One thing on my list. And she said, what is it? She said, I've asked that God would heal Dee Dee. That's a keeper. Selfless. I started hearing back from people. One man said, I had a heart attack and couldn't work. A person in our church paid my rent the month I couldn't work. And they never signed their name. They just put a note, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, on behalf of our church, because of what God has taught me at Rubyville Community Church. A man with an illness said, I couldn't get under the house. And just a few days ago, one of our men crawled under the house, did a plumbing job for me. And when I said, what do I owe you? Not one dime. It's all taken care of. A man with a stroke told me, when I was battling with my stroke and recovering in therapy, said all of a sudden the men of the church gathered together and they knew I couldn't get upstairs where our bedroom was. And the men remodeled the lower level of our house to give me a ground level place for my wife to live. And on top of that, the church paid for every dime of the supplies. Another man said, when I was sick in Columbus and I was worried because my wife told me the furnace went out, the men in our church gathered together and they took care of everything. I don't know who paid for it, but the men of the church put in a furnace. A young mother was discouraged because her children was acting up in church. And all of a sudden she got a card from an individual. And on that card they said, I just felt led to tell you what a good job you're doing raising your children and having them in church. Another one said, when I was young and in high school as a student, I wasn't going to be able to keep coming to church because of the gas prices that had gone up. Suddenly, I received gift cards, and guess what they were for? Gas stations for fuel. A man was sick and lost his job, and because of his illness, someone in the church realized he couldn't go back to work, and they stepped up and said, let me help you with your Social Security. And he said, I tried and I couldn't get anywhere, but God gently used them to provide for me. Another one, and I know you'll know who this is, but they said they had to let me know. All of a sudden, when their car was worn out in one service, Rubyville Community Church provided a car for their ministry. A grandfather sent through a text to me and said, my grandchildren prayed for me to be right with God. Another one said, in 2003, my husband was out of work. And because he was out of work, we were behind on our house payment. Nobody knew it. One day coming out of church, they handed me an envelope. Inside the envelope, to the penny, was what I needed to make our house payment. Another man said, one day going out of church, someone slipped me an envelope. They had no idea, but it was exactly what I needed to pay the oncology bill for my wife. A husband and wife said we had a $2,300 bill that we couldn't pay, and it suddenly was paid. Another lady said, I needed a test that cost $575. One day, a lady handed me $575 exactly. A widow said, I needed a new electric box and electric wiring through my house. A young man in Rubyville provided all the labor, and another man provided all the parts. A mother reflected on a time when her husband was laid off. She needed an x-ray, and the insurance had run out. The x-ray technician was there when she went in, and she went to church with the x-ray technician. She said, the strangest thing, I never received a bill. I never received a bill, and the man never said a thing about it. A lady reported, one day, suddenly, my car was paid off.
A lady shared how her husband had had an affair on her. She said, in 20 minutes, I lost my husband, my home, and my entire life. She said, I was hurt, I was embarrassed, and I was at the end of my rope. Only my immediate family knew my problems. Suddenly, a lady from church came to the door, and when I answered the door, she set a bag at my feet. Then she hugged me, and she said, I want to tell you something. God sent me to tell you, I love you, and God said everything is going to be okay. She said, when I opened the bag after she left, there was a set of luxury sheets inside that bag. She said, that was the first item that God gave me to rebuild my life, and God has helped her to rebuild her life now. Another one said, God allowed me to walk through the doors of RCC, and finally, I found a place where there's freedom to worship God. Water bill passed due. Now listen to this. And they said, the water bill, they live in one town. The water bill wound up, they don't know how, in the mailbox of another one of our men that live in another town in a different zip code. Said when they got the bill, they simply got a receipt that it was paid in full. And on it was written the words, God bless you. Another one said, one day I found $300 in my Bible after one service when I needed it. Another one said, I had open heart surgery, traveling back and forth to Columbus, and they provided $300 for my wife. A husband left a wife. Nobody knew. She came to church broken, not a soul knowing. And suddenly someone come up to her and said, I don't know what it is, but I know that you're hurting. Why don't we go to the altar and pray about it? And she said, since that time, people have absolutely flooded her and taken care of her through all of it. A young married couple, just recently, they were sent $100 in the bill, $100 in the mail to help them during the time of pandemic, and nobody knew. During my illness, one person said, people mowed my grass, sent gift cards and money to help me through it. Another one said, when we came to RCC, just getting our marriage back on track, someone anonymously paid for tickets and completely underwrote the trip that we had for a marriage conference down at Cincinnati. Another wrote and said, we needed funding for our special needs child. And a couple in the church continued to send us checks to help. Another one says, when I was down with a back injury, a man in our church mowed his grass for 3 months at no charge. We have a Sunday school teacher that every week during this pandemic, she has mailed lessons to young students so they'd be able to get their Sunday school lessons. A widow said, when my water line was broken and I had no way of paying it, suddenly the water line was taken care of by the church. Another one said, that they had family members that had gone through a transplant. And every service, not one service passed, but what people didn't come to them with get well cards, gifts, junior church provided help, Sunday school provided help, deacons provided help, the church helped financially, said all because of Rubyville. One day a man called me up and he said, I want you to spend some time with me and my wife. We need about 5 minutes. And I went to their house. They handed me, I believe it was 7 envelopes. They said, go to the names on those envelopes. Do not tell them where this is from. God knows. It was names of widows and sick people. I had to drive sometimes an hour to get to some of the people that were in ministry that they were wanting to help. But everything that people needed, it was there for them. I received an endless number of emails and texts and calls of where the church has helped pay for funeral bills and hospital bills out of the Deacon's Benevolence Fund. Thank you, deacons. God bless you, deacons, for what you do. A widow said her property taxes was way behind. She didn't know what she would do. She got on her knees praying when suddenly there was a knock at the door and said, Cal, you are there with an envelope from someone. You didn't tell me their name. and said, all that I know was there was a note inside that said, God bless you, from one of your church family members at Rubyville Community Church. A lady that's a widow said, somebody came to my house and pulled the weeds in my landscape and trimmed all my bushes. Another one said, I've been trying to think about the things that the church has done for me. There's so many things, said, and notice, not one thing have I mentioned that I have done. It's what you have done. Hear what I'm saying. Said, first of all, my church family prayed for my lost husband and he was saved. Said, my church family provided clothes for us when we first started coming to church and didn't have what we needed to wear. Said, when we didn't have a car, there was an individual that picked us up every service to get us a safe ride to church. Said there was a couple that when I was sick, they came faithfully to make sure that my children got to youth and got to church. The church provided food for our family time and time again. Money randomly would show up to pay bills. One couple in the church, her and her husband, took us to church for the longest time when I couldn't drive. And this is what they said, and I love this most of all. We are well loved. Well, I didn't think I could go this long. I'm ready to quit. I'm facing a giant. I know it's a giant. Candy knows it's a giant. Carrie knows it's a giant. And I don't know what I'm going to face. I'm believing God. I'm battling, but I'm believing. I know what you've done in the past, but I need some keepers today. I need some people, first of all, that'll assure me they're going to keep the practices, the principles, and the pattern of this church. Stay with a book that we've been preaching from since we started. And this church was established. Stay with the King James. I fear to get quiet right there. Stay with the standards that we have placed. I hear it all the time. You don't need those things. What good does it do? Well, look around. You're in the middle of a pandemic. There's some things you can't let go. You got to keep preaching the word. You got to stand on the word. You got to believe certain things. It's essential to believe in the virgin birth. It's essential to believe in the power of God. It's essential to believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's essential to believe in the resurrection. It's essential to believe that there's no other way to be saved. It's essential to believe that God has power to do all things. Keepers to keep praying. Praying for this church. Praying for our leaders. Praying for Brian. Praying for others that need prayer. Praying for God's power. I want you to keep praising God. You can accuse me of a lot of things. But there were services that I'm telling you, it took all that I had to get here. But thank God for our balcony people. Thank you for letting me sit in your world the past few weeks. And thank you for overlooking me. But I don't care how bad I hurt, and I don't care how much pain that I have, I still have to get on my feet and praise God. And I hope that we never have a church that makes fun of people for praising God. Somebody may not praise God like you do, but don't you ever make fun of them, because God might make you praise God like that. I want you to keep praising God. I want the runners to keep running the aisle. I want the praisers to keep getting on their feet. I want the shouters to keep shouting. I want the criers to keep weeping. I want those that just smile and say, thank you, Lord, for every blessing that you've given. Keep on praising God. I know you got a mask on, but the Holy Ghost can get through that mask. The Lord. That's my praisers. Thank God. Thank God. I think we've got some others. Say, I'm going to keep praising, Pastor. You can count on that. When my cup's full, I'll keep praising God. Bless you, sis. You got a right to praise God. Healed you of cancer, took care of you, watched over you. I'm telling you, we cannot afford to quit praising God. You know your problem? You think you have to feel like it. Well, you don't have to feel like it. There's things you can't do. I don't feel like it. And there's things I can't do right now. I can't run, but I'm telling you, if I could, I would right now. I'd run as hard as I could right in the face of the devil and say, you will not win. You do not have power. You will not overcome. We've got a living God that is faithful in all things. And regardless of what I face, I'll praise the Lord. And then I'll say this, and I'll quit. God gave me 30 minutes in the Holy Ghost. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Keep on providing. Keep taking care of the sick, the widows, the weak, the workers. Keep providing. I'm not asking for me. I'm asking for the glory of God. So they're getting ready to come and sing. And I'm going to ask you while they sing, how many of you will say, preacher, you can count on me to be a keeper? See, if you respond, then that keeps me focused on the giant. And I have to worry about the sheep or the carriage. I need some keepers. If you want to be a keeper, to keep praising God.